Wonderful. Let's begin. So we left off yesterday on Vav Amud Beis. Vav Amud Beis. Amar Bichabo, correct?
Yes.
Good. All right. I don't want to start from the wrong place again. All right. Amar Bichabo, Amar Rav Huna. Six lines up from the bottom. Amar Bichabo, Amar Rav Huna. Kol Adam Sheyish Bo Yira Shamayim Devarav Nishmoin. Any person has Yira Shamayim, his words are heard. Right? Fear of heaven. Shine Amar Sov Devar Kol Nishma Esa Elokim Yira. Right, so at the end of the day, everything at the end of the matter, all is heard. In other words, that Yira Shamayim ultimately is the thing that is heard. My kizek ala adam. What does it mean? Because this is all of man. Amar Belaz, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, kola olam lo nivra ela bishvil ze. That if someone has Yira Shamayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I created the entire world just for him. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Amar shakol ze keneged kola olam kulo. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana says that someone with Yira Shamayim is as worthy as the rest of humanity. Rabbi Shimon ben Azai Omer, va Amar de Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma. Omer kol ha'olam lo nivra ela litzeves lezeh. So Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma says that the entire world was only created as an accompaniment for this individual with Yirah Shamayim. Or in other words, when a person has Yirah Shamayim, says the Gemara, that is the actualization of the entire purpose for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. V'am Rabbi Chabam Rav Huna. Kol shiodea b'chaver. Let's listen to this Gemara. Kol shiodea b'chaveru shirog yalitin lo shalom yakdim lo shalom. If I know that my friend normally greets me, I should make sure to be proactive and greet him. Shene emar, bakesh shalom virat fehu. Because as the pasuk says, seek out peace and pursue it. So the Gemara is understanding that idea of seek it out, be proactive, pursue it. Even if I know someone normally gives me shalom, be the first to greet the individual. And if someone gives me shalom and I don't respond, nikra gazlon. I'm called the thief. Shine Amar Vaatem, quoting over here the pasuk from Yeshaya, Vaatem Biartem Hakerem Gezilas Haani Bivatechem. You have literally despoiled the vineyard. You have stolen from the pauper in your home. So what is the thing that you could steal from a pauper? The assumption is the pauper doesn't have all that much. So what you could steal from the pauper is his shalom. That if the pauper gives you a shalom and you don't respond to it, it's as if you're stealing the shalom from him. Therefore, the Gemara says, if you go ahead, somebody greets you, you don't respond, you don't reciprocate, that's as if you're stealing from the individual. Top of Zayin Amud Aleph. Amrab Yoch, first line on Zayin. Amrab Yoch, Amishrab Yosin, Minayin Shah Kadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel. So how do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens? Shene Emar, Vahavi Osim Al Har Kod Shevis Yimachtim Beveis Tfilosin. I will bring them to my holy mountain. I will gladden them in the house of my prayer. Tfilasam lo ne'emar elo tfilasi. It doesn't say house of your prayer. Rather, what does it say? House of my prayer. Mikan she'akadosh baruch hu mispalel. From here we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens. So Rabbosai, obviously you see a lot of metaphor happening. Yesterday we spoke about HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting on tefillin. Today we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu going ahead and davening. So all the same theme. These are actions and activities that represent the things that we do to establish a sense of connectedness to the Ribono Shel Olam. The idea is that the same way we spend our lives trying to connect to Him, He spends eternity trying to connect to us. My Matzli, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu daven? Listen to this. Amarav Zutra Bartovia Amarav. Razutra Bartovia said in the name of Rav, Hiratza Milfanai. It should be, listen to even this lesson is so interesting. It should be my will before me. Hiratza Milfanai, Sheikh Bashurachamai Eskasi. That my compassion should overtake my anger, the Agolu Rachamai Amidosai. And my compassion should overwhelm or should overtake my strict attributes, the Esnoheg im Bonai Bamidas Rachamin. And I should conduct myself with my children with compassion, the Ekonis Lahem. Lifnim Mishuras Hadin, and I should always go and do for them above and beyond the letter of the law. Tanya Am Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. So we'll say you thought it was a song, but in fact it's a Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says, Pam Achas Nichnasti Lahaktir Ketores Lifnai V'Lifnim. Now Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was the Kohen Gadol. You know Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha because Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was the first of the Asara Harugi Malchus. He was the first of the 10 martyrs. We read about him on Tisha B'Av. We actually also read about his son and daughter. You know, the Kina that speaks about the young boy and girl who were taken captive, sold to different masters. They were put together in order to have children. they both spend the night on the other side of the room lamenting the fate that children of a Kohen Gadol are going to be wed to a servant. In the morning they recognize each other, they fall into each other's arms, very moving kinah. And the kinah says they cried and cried and cried as sheyatzu nishmasan bebechi, until they died. And in fact the kinah says that this is what Yirmiyah meant when he said al ila ani bochia. This is Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol says that one time in Yom Kippur I came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to do the Ketores, Isi akasriel ka Hashem tzevakos shehu yoshev al kisei ram benisa, and I saw Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We'll go with the reading of the Gemara that akasriel is a name of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Although I'll just point out to you, Marim Makom, there are different interpretations of this particular Gemara in terms of who akasriel is. But we'll go with reading that it's Hashem. I saw Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and he was sitting on his great throne. Va'amar lo yishmal b'ni barcheni. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to me, Yishmael, my son, bless me. Amartilo, I said to him, Yiratzam lefanecha sheyichbeshu rachamechas kaasecha. I said to him, it should be your will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that your compassion should overtake your anger. V'yagolu rachamecha midosecha. And your compassion should overwhelm your strict attributes. V'tisnahi banecha b'miras harachamim. And you should behave with your children with compassion. V'tikonis lem lefnim mishuras hadin. And you should go above and beyond the letter of the law for them. V'na'ana li barosho. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu nodded his approval over my bracha. V'kamash malon. And we learned from here, shalot. That the blessing of a simple person should not be worthless in your eyes. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciated the bracha of a mere mortal of his own creation, then of course when we receive a bracha, even if it's from a regular person, it should be of value. How do we know that you should not try to appease a person at the time that they're angry? Meaning, there is this idea that there are times that you try to calm people down and times that you don't try to calm people down. So how do you know that when a person mamish is in the midst of their anger, that you should not try to appease them? V'chsev ponayi lechu v'hanichosi loch. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, my face will leave you, and I will give you, the way the Gemara is understanding hanichosi lach is, I will give you a degree of menucha, I will leave you alone. This idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I don't want you to try to calm me down now because I'm upset. Amar la HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, hamtin li ad sheyavru panim shel zam, v'aniach lecha. Wait till I calm down, wait till I'm not angry, and afterwards I will forgive you. Umi'ika rischa kami kuchurichu. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu get angry? In, yes he does. This sanya, ve'el zo'im b'chol yom. God gets angry every day. Ve'kama za'amo. How long does God's anger last? Rega. Right. For a moment. Ve'kama rega. How much is a rega? Echad mechameshes rivo, ushmones alofim, ushmona meos, ushmonim, ushmona b'sha. So I'll say, listen to this. So how long is a rega? A rega is 158,880. Fifty-eight eight eighty of a shah, of an hour. Of an hour, that moment. Vizu rega, that's a rega. Ve'ein kol beria yichola lechavin osa shah. And no man knows how to be mechavin to that particular moment, chutz mi Bilam HaRasha. The one person who was able to do it was Bilam HaRasha. Dechsiv bei ve'yodea das elyon. Because again, the Torah, when this, right, the Torah we're talking about, Bilam says that he knew the das, he knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what did Bilam know about God that no one else knew about God? Hashta das behemto lo hava yada. He didn't even know his behema. Right, remember that's the whole episode with the donkey. And he didn't even know what was happening with his donkey. Das Elyon Hava Yada. See, he doesn't know his donkey, but he knows God. El Malame Shayach Shiodea Lechavin Osa Shah Shakadosh Baruch Hu Koesba. But rather, it means that he knew the exact moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got upset at. V'hainu d'amrlu navi l'Yisrael, ami zucharna mayatz balak melech moav. And that's why the Navi says, in Micha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that my nation, remember what Balak, the king of Moab, wanted to do for you. Leman das tzidkos Hashem. In order that you should know the charities of the kindness of God. What does that mean? Amar Rebbe Elazar, Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Du'u kama tzedakos asisi imochem. Know what kindnesses I did for you in those days of Bilam. Shelo ki asti bimei Bilam harasha. I did not get angry during any of those days that Bilam was trying to curse them. Remember, the story is, of course, Balak, the king of Moab, sees the rapid approach of Klal Yisrael, realizes that he can't fight off the Jewish people in regular physical warlike means, so he hires Bilam, a non-Jewish prophet, to go ahead and curse the Jewish people. But it didn't work. It didn't work. Not only does it not work, we also know that's what? That he ended up blessing the Jewish people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, see how many wonderful things I did for you, how many tzedakos. Shil molik ka'asti, because had I gotten angry during those days, lo nishtaya miso'em she'iso sari du'polit. Had I gotten angry during those days, there would have been nothing left of the Jewish people. The Hainu de Ka'amar Bilam the Balak. And this is what Bilam said to Balak, Ma'eko lo kava'el. So this is what when Bilam says to Balak, Balak, I don't know what you want from me. God's not getting angry. And if God's not getting angry, there's nothing I could do. U'ma'ezam lo zam Hashem. Melamed shekol osan hayomim lo zam. So the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with us is that even though Bilam, if Bilam knew the moment that God got angry, had he cursed us during that time, we would have been in very big trouble. The chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us is he didn't get angry during those days, during those particular days. V'kama zamo, and how long does the zam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how long does the zam last for? So Rabbi Yossi, remember, we already had one opinion that said it's the 158,880, 80th, right, of an hour. So now the Gemara says, the kama zamo, right, how long does the zam last? Rega, for again, a rega, the kama rega, and how long is a rega? Om Rabbi Avin Vitim Rabbi Avina, rega kmemra. How long does a rega last? Rega lasts for the amount of time that it takes to say the word rega. Okay? Uminalan de rega rasa, how long the Kadosh Baruch Hu gets angry for a moment? Shene emar, ki rega biapo, chayim birtzono. Because the pasuk itself says that a person, Kadosh Baruch Hu, ki rega biapo, one moment in his anger. Vi boiseima mehacha, or the other possibility is from here, from the pasuk from Yeshaya, chavi kimat rega, ad ya'avor za'am. So the pasuk says, literally, hide yourself for a moment until the za'am, until the divine anger passes. Ve'imas rosach. And when is this? When is this time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry? Amar Abaye bahanach tlas shoy kamaisa. It's during the first 3 hours of the day. Ki chiyura karbalta de tarnagola. When the feathers of a rooster turn white. Vikai achad kara. I guess it must have to do with some time or something to do with the light. So it appears that the feathers of the rooster turn white. Vikai achad kara. And the rooster stands on one foot. So the Gemara says, one second. Kol shaita v'shaita nami kai hachi. But the truth is, depending on the light, the rooster's feathers could look white throughout the day, right? And it's, I guess standing on one foot is not an uncommon thing for the rooster either. So the Gemara says, kol shaita isbe shuraiki sumki. Bahi shaita lesbe shuraiki sumki. In all the times of the day, even if the feathers appear white, so there are red streaks. At this early time of the day, they're full white with no red streaks. That's a simen that's the time. The Gemara, now, again, the color of the rooster's feathers has nothing to do with God getting angry. The Gemara is doing is giving a simen as to what time of day that divine moment of anger occurs. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Ha'utz duki da'havi b'shvevusei d'Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. There was a tzeduki. Remember, was a tzeduki. Tzedukim were the sect of Jews that only believed in Torah Shebichsav, not in Torah Shebalpeh. Only in the written law, not in the oral law. So there was a particular tzeduki who lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Havakametzar leituva bikroi. And this guy essentially was an exceptional nudnik. And every single day, he would bother Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi with psukim. Meaning, as a tztuki, it was his job to go ahead and disprove the written law. So every single day he would bother Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, trying to erode the sanctity of Torah Shebaal Peh. Yomachad, so Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi had enough. So what was he going to do? Yomachad, shagil tarnagola v'ukmei ben kari da'arsa. One day, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi took a rooster and he tied it to his bed, va'ayin vei, and he sat there looking at it. Why? Sover kimata hishaita alatye. Because he figured, you know what I'm going to do? At the moment that the rooster's feathers turn white, that's a simen. That's what? That this is the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. I'm going to curse the tzduki. That's going to be it. Kimat ahishaita, when that moment came, naim. Rabbi Yoshua Levi fell asleep. He fell asleep. Amr shmamina lav orach ara lemi avet hachi. Apparently this was a simon that this is not the appropriate course of action. V'rachamav al kol ma'asav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu even loves nudniks. Ksiv. Can make that into a bumper sticker. Ksiv. V'rachamav al kol ma'asav ksiv. Uksiv gam anosh letzadik lo tov. And furthermore, the pasuk says, and this is also very profound from Mishlei, gam anosh letzadik lo tov. You know what? It's not good for the tzadik to be the rod, right, that strikes down someone else also. It's not good for the tzaddik to be the source of someone else's punishment. Tana mishmei de Rabbi Meir, b'sho'a sha'achama zorachas, v'chom malchi mizrech umarav manichim kisrem barashem, u'mishtachavim lachama. So now the Gemara brings down, so in the name of Rabbi Meir, another time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, when the sun comes up, and all the kings of the east and the west put on their crowns, and they bow down to the sun. Miyad kois HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At that moment, that mankind is worshipping one of God's creations and not God himself is also a time that he gets upset. Tova mardus achos belibo shel adam yoser mekama malchus. So let's take a quick look at Rashi. Mardus achos, it's the third wide line in Rashi. Mardus achos lashon ridui v'hachno. Mardus means humility. Humility, hachno, a sublimating of the self. She adam sam alibo me'elav. That a person, a moment of self-inspired humility. So Rabbi Yossi says that a moment of self-inspired humility is better than 100 lashes, meaning that there are different ways that people become humbled. Sometimes people are humbled because of external punishment, and sometimes people are humbled because they come to it themselves. Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, better to have one moment of self-inspired humility than to have even a protracted period of externally imposed humility. Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, V'ritfa es ma'avel. The Amra Elcha the Ashuva El Ishi Harishon. Right, so here quoting the pasuk from Hosea, right? The metaphor for Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael is the woman who ran away from her husband, and finally she says, "I will go back to my first husband, Kitov li az me'ata, because it was good for me then." Reish Lakish Amar Yoser Mimea Malkios. Reish Lakish says, it's better than hundreds of lashes. Shine Emar Tachas Ga'arab Mevin Makos Ksil Meo. But Amrav, so I will say essentially what the Gemara is saying over here, a very profound yisod as well, which is that the greatest accomplishment in life is not when we learn the correct lessons because of circumstances that happen to us, but even better is for us to learn the correct lessons on our own without the circumstances forcing us into learning them. Moshe Rabbeinu asked for three things and God granted them. Moshe Rabbeinu requested that the Shechina rest on the Jewish people, and God gave it to him. Shneemar, halo belechtecho imanu. Moshe Rabbeinu says that you're going to travel with us. Moshe Rabbeinu requested that the Shechina not rest upon the nations of the world. And God granted it. Shneemar, v'naflirun aniva amecha. Bikesh lohodia drachav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu requested to understand the ways of God. V'nosalon, God granted it to him. Shneemar, hodieni nos drachecha. Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, teach me your ways. Amar lefanav ribono shel olam. Mipnei mayish sadik v'tovlo, v'yish sadik v'ralo. Yesh rasha v'tovlo, v'yish rasha v'ralo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it that there are righteous who have a good life, righteous who suffer, wicked who have it wicked, right, who have it bad, and wicked who seem to have it good? So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Amar la Moshe, tzadik v'tovlo, tzadik ben tzadik. When a tzadik enjoys a good life, he's a tzadik, the son of a tzadik. Tzadik v'ralo, tzadik suffers, tzadik ben rasha. He's the tzadik, the son of a rasha. Rasha v'tovlo, if there's a wicked person who has a good life, rasha ben tzadik, it's because he hails from tzadikim. Rasha v'ralo, but if a rasha has it badly, rasha ben rasha. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Mar, tzadik v'tovlo, tzadik ben tzadik, v'tzadik v'ralo, tzadik ben rasha. Is that true? Is that true? That if a person is righteous, the son of a righteous person, life is good. And if a person is righteous, the son of a wicked person, then suddenly life is bad. Ini v'oksiv, pokid avon avos al banim. One hand, the pasuk says that God visits the iniquities, the sins of the fathers on the son. Uksiv, but another pasuk says, ubanim lo yumsu al avos. But another pasuk says that the children are not held responsible for the actions of the fathers. V'raminon, and we explain, v'raminon kroy ahadodi. And we go ahead and we explain the psukim together. Umishanin on lo kasha, it's not a question. When are the children held responsible for the actions of the fathers? When the fathers did evil things and the children perpetuate those same evil ma'asim. In that case then, the children are not only punished for their actions but for the actions of the fathers. But ultimately, if the fathers are wicked but the children choose to do something different, right, to choose to live a better life, the children are not held responsible for the actions of the father. Rather, this is what God said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Tzadik v'tov lo tzadik gomer. If a tzadik enjoys a good olam hazeh, that's because he's fully righteous. Tzadik v'ralo, tzadik she'eino gomer. But if the tzadik, right, tzadik suffers, it's because he's not a tzadik gomer. Rasha v'tov lo, rasha she'eino gomer. If there's a rasha that enjoys some goodness in this world, he's not such a full rasha. Not a full rasha. Rasha v'ralo, rasha gomer. But if a rasha is going to suffer, that means he's a real rasha. So the Gemara says, but one second. Upligid Rav Meir. But Rav Meir has a totally different version of this. Dam Rav Meir, shtayim nasnulo, v'achas lo nasnulo. So Yabo said, everybody agrees that Moshe Rabbeinu made three requests. Number one, that the Shechina rest upon the Jewish people. Number two, that the Shechina not rest upon the nations of the world. And number three, hodi'inas derachecha, teach me your ways. According to the first approach in the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him all three requests. According to Rabbi Meir, God gave him the first two and did not grant him the third. That God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, literally, I will visit compassion upon those who I want to visit compassion. Even if they don't seem deserving of it. Because at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you cannot see my face. Watch, we'll come back to that passage in just a moment. So according to Rabbi Meir, whereas God gave Moshe Rabbeinu the first two requests, when Moshe seeks to understand the inner dynamics and workings of the world, specifically why the righteous suffer, why the wicked prosper, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, as great as you are, I'm sorry. That I can't share with you. That's purely the domain of God. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, I can't let you see my face. Moshe, when I wanted to show you my face, when by the burning bush, you didn't want to see it. Now that you're ready to see it, I'm not ready to show it to you. So I'll say, you should just know that the Maharal in his Chiddush HaGadol comments on this Gemara, he says, you know what we learned from here? What we learned from here is that often in life, opportunity knocks once. That don't think that if you let opportunities pass by, they'll be there for your taking when you decide to wake up. There'll be other opportunities. Other opportunities always come about. But opportunities in life come around one time in their form. So Moshe, it's Kosh Baruch said to Moshe, I offered you that sense of closeness by the snap. You didn't want it. It's fine. It's not here anymore. There are other forms of closeness. But this opportunity is gone. Incredible lesson. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani. I'm Rabbi Yonatan. The Rosh Shmuel bar Nachmani. I'm Rabbi Yonatan. Mischa shalosh. Zochal shalosh. So Rabbi said, this is an interesting idea that there's a machlokes in terms of how to view Moshe Rabbeinu's refusal to look upon God at the sneh. So clearly, the first opinion in the Gemara sees it as a mistake of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says Rabbi Yonatan holds it wasn't a mistake. It was an incredible maila because according to Rabbi Yonatan, in the merit of three, Moshe Rabbeinu was zochet to three. What does that mean? Bischar vayaster Moshe upon. Because Moshe Rabbeinu hid his face by the snare, zochel klester upon him. He was given this incredible radiance of face. Bischar kiorei, because he was fearful, zochel vayiru migeshes elov. The people were fearful to approach Moshe. Bischar mehabit, in the reward of not looking, zochel lutmunas Hashem yabit. He was zochet to be able to look upon the visage or the picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So machlokes as to how to view Moshe Rabbeinu's unwillingness to look upon God at the sneh. Vasirosi es kapai v'ra'isi es achorai. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll say this is all a continuation of the same set of psukim. This is after Moshe Rabbeinu wants Hodi'ini Na'as Terachacha. God tells him, according to his last version of the Gemara, no. But God says, I will take away my hand and you will see my back. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Melami Tsheher Lach HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, Kesho Shel Tefillin. It teaches us that what did God allow Moshe Rabbeinu to see? To see the knot of his tefillin. Which is actually interesting because yesterday when we saw about the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we were speaking about the tefillin shal yad. Today we see the remez to the tefillin shal rosh. Any time that God says something good, right, a bracha, even if it's on condition, the bracha always comes to fruition. Where do we know this from? Minolan Mimoshe Rabbeinu. We see this from Moshe. Shene emar heref yiminav ashvideim ve'ese oscha legoy atzum. So God says to Moshe Rabbeinu by the chayte eagle, let me wipe them out. Let me wipe them out. And I will make from you a great nation. Afagabdabai Moshe Rachmi alei demilsabat la. Even Moshe Rabbeinu davened and he negated that divine decree. Afilu hachni okum bazare. The blessing was still felt by his offspring. Shene emar b'nei Moshe gershov eliezer v'iyu b'nei elozer eliezer rechavya arosh u'b'nei rechav. So again, in Divrei Hayamim, when it speaks about the offspring of Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that they became multitudes. The Tanya Rav Yosef Lamalam is Shishim Revo, more than 600,000 descendants. Asiya Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef Hachor Rabbi Lamalu Yosef Hasam Uben Israel Paru VeYishrutzu VeYirbu. So also the point over here is that even though God seemed to make the bracha of a multitude of offspring from Moshe Rabbeinu, dependent on what? The destruction of the Jewish people. Whenever God goes ahead and says a bracha, even if it's with a tenai, ultimately the bracha is actualized. Amud Beis. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Miyom Shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asa Olam Nahayu Adam Shekar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adam Asher Bo Avram Bekar Adam. Rabbi Yochanan said in Yerushalayim Yochai, from the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there was no person that called God Adon, that called God Master, until Avram Avinu came along and called him master. Shine Emar Vayomer. Because the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Bame Eda Ki Irashena. Okay? So he says, Hashem Elokim, I've lost the mastery. How do I know that I will inherit it? Speaking about Eretz Yisrael. Amarav, Af Daniel Ona Ana Ela Bishvil Avram. Even Daniel was not answered except in the merit of Avram Avinu Shine Emar. Va'ato Shema Elokeinu El Tfilas Avdecho Ve'El Tachanuno Va'er Panecha Al Mikdashcho Hashamim Leman Hashem. Well, we can actually read it Leman Adonai Leman Chomi Boy. But why doesn't it say for your benefit or in your sake? Ela Leman Avram Shekaracha Adon. Rather, the reason why it says Leman Adonai is because ultimately in the Schus of Avram, who was the first to call you by the Shem Adnos. How do we know that you should not try to appease a person when they are angry? Because even HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, you know what, I'm going to leave you a little bit, let me cool off, and then ultimately I'll forgive you later on. Biyom shabara es HaKadosh Baruch Hu es olamo lo haya adam shehodol HaKadosh Baruch Hu ad shebas saleh v'hodasol. This is an amazing Gemara. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, when the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there was not a person who gave hoda'ah, who gave thanks to God, until Leah came along and gave thanks to God. What did Leah say? Hapam ode es Hashem. Because by the birth of Yehuda, she said, Hapam ode, this time I will thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Leah Imenu was the first person to articulate. Now, what does that mean? So the Chasam Sofer explains on this, what it means is that Leah was no one thanked God. Noach didn't thank God when he came out of the Teva. Avraham Avinu didn't thank God. What does it mean? That Leah Imenu was the first person to thank God for something that appeared within the natural order of the world. People thanked God for supernatural events. People thank God for miracles. Leah Imenu was the first one who articulated thanks to the Ribono Shel Olam for something that was in the Olam HaTeva, in the natural. She saw God even in the natural order of the world. Reuven, Amar Rebbe Lazar, Amar Leah, Re'u ma ben bini, the ben chami. So now the Gemara says that what's the meaning of the name Reuven? So Rebbe Lazar says it's a contraction. Re'u vein. See the difference between my son and my father-in-law's son. Remember, what she's referring to over here is Yitzchak's son of Esav. See the difference between my firstborn and my father-in-law's firstborn. My Reuven and Esav. Even though my father-in-law's firstborn son Esav, even though he willingly sold his birthright, what does it say by him? Even though Esav sold it willingly, still what? The Torah says that Esav hated Yaakov. Uksiv vayomer hachi kara shmo Yaakov vayakveni ze pa'amayim. Right? And even though, again, he willingly sold it to Yaakov Avinu, nevertheless, he has such resentment. That's why he's called Yaakov. He ve'akveni. Literally, he pulled me down by the heel twice. Ve'ilu b'ni. But yet, when it comes to my son, Reuven, af agav do'al karche shakle. Even though what? The Bechorah was taken from him against his will. Even though Yosef took the Bechorah against his will, remember, Yosef didn't actually take anything. What it means was that the Bechorah was taken from Reuven and given to Yosef. This is again by the brachos of Yaakov Avinu. Actually, the truth is here is talking about from the pasuk from Divrei Hayomim. Ubnei Reuven b'chor Yisrael kiu b'chor b'chalalo yitzuei aviv nitna b'choraso livnei Yosef. So again, the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim explicitly says that in that whole episode of Reuven moving the bed of his father, ultimately the b'chor is taken from him and given to Yosef. Afilu hachi lo aknabe. Despite that, Reuven was not jealous of his brother. Dichziv vayishma Reuven vayatzileinu mi'adam. Because at the end of the day, when the whole episode with Yosef, when they were thinking about killing him, at the end of the day, it was Reuven who came to his rescue. See, even though it was Reuven who lost his bechora to Yosef, nevertheless, it was still Reuven who stepped in when he saw that his brother was in mortal danger. Rus. So now the Gemara is talking about names. The Gemara has a little bit of time in names. Rus. What's the meaning of the name Rus? Referring to the great grandmother of David HaMelech, my Rus, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shezachsa V'yatsa Mimena David. This refers to the woman who had the zchus that David HaMelech came from her. Sherivohu LaKadosh Baruch Hu V'shiros V'tishbachos. So Sherivohu, Rabbosai, literally means he showered or he sated HaKadosh Baruch Hu with songs and with praise. So the word Rus is the same shortage as Rava, Resh Vav Hey, which means it's Lashon of showering or sating. So she is the one who gave birth to the man or gave birth to the line that ultimately brought about David HaMelech, who showered HaKadosh Baruch Hu with much blessing. So the Gemara says, by the way, Minolam Dishmagarim, how do we know that a person's name, this is actually very interesting, that a person's name, Shmagarim literally means that a name causes. What the Gemara really means is, how do we know that a name really captures the essence of an individual? Amar Rebbe Lazar de Amar Kra, Lichu Chazu Mifalos Hashem, Asher Sham Shamos Ba'aretz. So here's what's interesting about this. See here, the Gemara is quoting from the Pasuk, most wonderful pasuk from Tehillim. It literally is L'chu l'chazu mifalos Hashem. Go and see the wonders of God. Asher sam shamos ba'aretz, that He has brought destruction upon the world. That's it, shamos. That's the word is. However, the Gemara says al tikri shamos ela shemos. Don't vocalize it shamos. Read it shemos. So in other words, go and see the wonders of God that He has brought about by placing names in this world. Or in other words, that a name captures the essence. The Arizal, I've quoted this before, but the Arizal, beautiful Arizal, the Arizal brings down that when parents name their children, they are given a degree of Ruach HaKodesh. Why? So that they should give their child a name that somehow captures the essence of that child's identity and that child's destiny. So a parent, I think I'm naming after Uncle Frank, but it turns out that no, that Uncle Frank might be the motivation, but ultimately a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us Nevuah to be able to give the right name that captures the essence. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishra Bishem Ben Yochai. Kasha Tarbus Rabbisok Besos Shal Adam Yosem Melchemes Gog Umagog. Both another profound Gemara. Having a difficult child in your home, meaning talking about problems with one's children, having serious problems. Tarbus Ra literally means a bad child, right? But having a problematic, having an unruly, a difficult child in your home is even more difficult than the war of Gog Umagog. And I both say, you know, that Gog Umagog is pretty bad stuff. Right? Gog Umagog, ultimately, I guess, you know, the Christian term is Armageddon. So we have a little bit of a different idea of what exactly Gog Umagog is, but it is the ultimate showdown between good and evil before the Messianic arrival. So the Gemara says, having a difficult child in your home is worse than Gog Umagog. Shene Emar, Mizmo L'David B'Varchom Ibn Avshalom Beno. Because the Pasuk says, a song of David, or a song to David, when he ran away from Avshalom, his son. Remember, Avshalom was the son of David HaMelech, who launched a rebellion against his father. Uksiv Basrei, and it says after that pasuk, Hashem, Ma Rabut Sarai, Rabim Kamim Alai. Kodesh Baruch Hu, look how much I'm suffering. Look how many rise up against me. V'ilu Gabi Melchames Kogu Moga Uksiv, Lama Rikshuga, Imulumim Yagurik, V'ilu Ma Rabut Sarai, Lo Uksiv. So amazingly enough, when David HaMelech talks about Gog u'Magog, so what does he say? Lama rog shugayim. Well, right, why are the nations rising up against us? But he doesn't say Mara butzarai. But he doesn't say, look how much I suffer. It's amazing. David HaMelech talks about suffering when he talks about the rebellion of his son. But he doesn't talk about suffering when it comes to the war of Gog u'Magog. So Gemara says, you see from here that from at least the Davidic perspective, having a difficult child in your home, having problems with your own children, is more personally painful than the war of Gog u'Magog. So the Gemara says, Mizmor LeDavid, a very profound Gemara. Mizmor LeDavid. So the Gemara, now that we brought this up, Mizmor LeDavid, Baruch Alei Hashalom Beno, Mizmor LeDavid, Kino LeDavid Miboyele. So the Gemara says, why does it say a song of David when Avshalom rebelled? That's not a song. What should it be? A kino, a lamentation. Right? Why is David now singing about the rebellion of Avshalom? I'm a Reb Shimon ben Avishalom, Moshel, L'ma'adar Domer. To what could this be compared? L'adam Shiyotel of Shtarchov. To a person who has a debt against him. Kodem Shepara Haya Atzuf. Before he paid the debt, he was sad, meaning that when I know that I have someone who has a claim against me, and I know that claim is going to be collected, especially if I don't necessarily know, if I don't know if I have the means to pay up the debt, it's very distressing. La'achar Sheparu, but after the debt is collected, and I'm free from it, even if I'm a little bit compromised, I'm happy to be debt-free. So off came David. So too in David, this is the situation of David HaMelech. Kevan Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hineni Meikim Alecha Rami Be'Secha. So remember, after the episode with Bathsheba, so one of the punishments, David HaMelech had two major punishments. Number one, that the son that he had, the first child that he had with Bathsheba, the baby, died in its infancy. That was the first punishment. And second punishment is the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you're going to have a rebellion against you from within your own home. So David HaMelech says, all of this time I was concerned, Shema Eved O Mamzerhu Delo Chayis Alai. I was always concerned, who's going to lead this rebellion against me? And I always thought it might be a slave or a mamzer, someone who is not going to have any level of compassion on me. But this is amazing. Amazing insight into David HaMelech's perspective on life. But once I saw that it was Avshalom who was leading the rebellion, I was happy. Why was he happy? Because David HaMelech assumed that no matter how bad things get, there will always be an element of compassion between son and father. In fact, if you look in the Nevi'im, interestingly enough, it was not Avshalom's plan to originally go ahead and run after David in order to kill him. It was actually Avshalom's advisors who pushed him to go ahead and run after David to kill them. So the amazing perspective in David HaMelech. Here he is, his own son rose up against him. He's got to flee Yerushalayim. He's running away. The entire kingdom that he worked to build, he thinks he's never going to see again. But yet, Mizmor LeDavid. Why? It's not as bad as it could have been. It's not as bad as it could have been. It could have been an Eved, it could have been a Mamzer, at least it's Avshalom. We would have thought the pain would have been amplified because it's one son. No, at least I know that whoever it is that's rising up against me will have some element of compassion. So now Rabbi Yochanan said in Rishon Yochai, it is permitted to start up. Liskaros literally means to contend with. What it means is, it's permitted to go ahead and to I will say, when we see someone doing something wrong, so sometimes we think the best approach is we should just be quiet. Just be quiet. So the Gemara says, no, you are. If you see someone doing something, if you see a Rasha, you are permitted to go ahead and put them in their place. Put them in their place. Shneemar, Oz ve'tori yehalu Rasha, v'shomrei tori yiskarubam, Tanya nami hachi, Rabbi Dostoye, Rabbi Masun Omer, Mutra liskaros b'Rasham b'olam hazeh. You can go ahead and you could contend with the Rasham in this world. Shneemar, Oz ve'tori yehalu Rasha. Listen to this, and if someone whispers to you, you know what, it's not right. We should live and let live, right? Leave their Rasham alone. They should be able to do whatever they want. Who are we to judge? Just know. Omer lo, misha libo nokfo, Omer Cain. It's only someone with a guilty conscience who has a lot to hide himself who would go ahead and give you such advice. Ella al tischar b'mereim. Rather, what does it mean that you should not connect with the wicked? Lios kimereim means you shouldn't be like the wicked. Al tekanim ve'ose avlo. Lios ka'ose avlo. Va'omer al yikana libcha b'chatoim. And what does it mean that your heart should not be jealous of sin? Ki im b'yiras Hashem kol ayom. Ini v'ha'amar Rabbi Yitzchok. Imra isa rasha shasha mishachekeslo. If you see a rasha who is enjoying good fortune, right? Shasha mishachekeslo literally means the sun is shining on him. You see a rasha ultimately who life is going well for him. Al tisgare bo. Then maybe you shouldn't start up with him. Meaning, if you see that there is this notion of Osa that people do have moments of mazel in this world. So if you essentially see someone who is having a bout of mazel, it might not be the best time to start up with them. Shene'emar, yachilu durachav b'choleis. Velo'od, elishazocha b'din. And maybe sometimes you see that this rush is actually being successful in matters of judgment. Shene'emar, maro mishpatecha minegdo. Velo'od, elishiroa b'tzarav. And maybe sometimes the rush even sees the downfall of his enemy. Shene'emar, kol tzorav yafiach b'hem. So the Gemara, we seem to have these two accounts. On one hand, the Gemara is telling us that it's okay to start up to contend with the Rishayim. On the other hand, the Gemara says that if you see a Rasha who is being successful in life, perhaps it's a better idea not to start up with them. To which the Gemara says, Lo kashya. It's not a question. Ha b'mili didei, ha b'mili dishmaya. So the Gemara says it's talking about two different things. Mili didei, when it comes to personal matters, so maybe it's a good idea not to start up with the Rasha. So if the Rasha is successful, so that means the Rasha is having his mazel, don't start up with him with personal matters. Ha b'mili dishmaya, when it comes to matters of heaven, you are always permitted and perhaps even obligated to take a stand against the Rasha, even if the Rasha is enjoying a stroke of good fortune. V'ba'isim, the other possibility is, Hava hava mili dishmaya. Both are dealing with matters of heaven. V'lo kasha, it's not a question. Hava rasha shasha mishachekeslo. Hava rasha shasha mishachekeslo. If the Rasha is enjoying good fortune, so perhaps leave it alone. But if he's not enjoying good fortune, then yes, you should take the stand against the Rasha for matters of Torah. V'ba'isim, hava hava rasha shasha mishachekeslo. V'lo kasha, habit tzadik gomer, habit tzadik she'ena gomer. Or perhaps it's not a din in the Rasha. Perhaps it's a din in who? In the other person. That if you're a tzaddik gomer, then you're right. You know what? You have every right to go ahead and stand up for Torah and take the stand against the Rasha. If you're not a tzaddik gomer, perhaps a person should work upon themselves a little bit more before they take that stand against the Rasha. The Amar Avuna Ma'idich Siv, what does it mean? When the Pasuk says, Lama tabit bogdim, tacharish, right? Why do the rebellious ones sit there silently? Bevalo Rasha tzaddik mimenu, when the Rasha goes in and swallows up the tzaddik, v'chi Rasha bolei tzaddik, is it really possible for a Rasha to swallow up a tzaddik? V'haksiv, Hashem lo ya'azvenu biyado, uksiv lo yu'unel tzaddik kolaven. But the psukim say that HaKadosh Baruch will never forsake the tzaddik. So how could it be that the Rasha is swallowing up the tzaddik? Ela, tzaddik mimenu bolea, tzaddik gomer eina bolea. Rather, the Rasha does have the ability to swallow up who? To swallow up a person who's just a little more righteous than he is. But the Rasha doesn't have the ability to swallow up the tzaddik gomer. The other possibility is sha'a mishachek es lo sheini, that there are those moments in life where the Rasha is having an incredible bout, an incredible round of mazel, and sometimes during those times, for reasons that are beyond our comprehension, the Rasha even has the ability to swallow up the tzaddik. But we'll stop over here. We'll pick up right from here tomorrow. That's right. Right, the Russian. Correct.